interrupting current neo-uranial, climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism. To bring you behind the woodshed, this is Cricketude-Busting episode BTWRLM 613. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed, because you don't know what you missed until you make the switch and get you behind the woodshed. It's pretty much that simple. In a series of follow-up reports in a couple of tabs to come here, in this one, here's an amplification upon my headset confirmation for Secretary of Defense criticism, being an admitted alcoholic, but not putting that down to make America his first duty. He might not be able to. Well, this example that I'm going to read to is not to the specific wrong, but the condition used as a defense. Ex-U.S. Army lawyer jailed for destroying DOD materials. The former U.S. Army officer and attorney has been sentenced to 54 months in federal prison for willfully deleting Army materials during what he claimed was a PTSD-related bout of alcoholism. As I said here in the prior episode, Hegseth might be a better advocate for, and maybe an example of, the failure of the United States government to offer proper treatment to its soldiers and veterans, then he would make a Secretary of Defense that is predisposed to this sort of a breakdown. Now see how this is actually working in practice the week after I'm talking about it. This case also exposes the compromisability of someone so predisposed. And on the other hand, the predisposed to being compromisable. So there's a bigger problem here than I think was given credit for, as was being dismissed by people in what he was doing. And yes, I've heard the excuses, how many senators are not drunk when they come in. Well, I don't know all that, and I suppose that they do, but that's not a high standard, is it? And part of the theme, one of the themes is, when our duty, the duties are supposed to be done, we don't give extra credit for them doing the duties under law. And so one of the points here is, as this whole system turns down, we see it mediocre or less, far less. All of a sudden, someone steps up and starts doing what they're supposed to do. Oh, now they're the hero. That's not the measure. So we have all these problems that we can see building in. Again, on the theme, if anything else, if nothing else, America great again. It's really, get rid of the again, America great, as we thought it might be. And now we see how it can be compromised as well, itself. You can see this other compromisability in when you look at Congress and Trump's cabinet, I think. Anybody honest can see this. And it just doesn't work out for us, for sure. And it turns out, again, on following up here, my questioning the veracity of the United States' claim that China done it were correct, and there is still no evidence China done it, but evidence that the United States intelligence did done it. As we read, behind Salt Typhoon, U.S. intelligence agencies mass surveillance of its citizens. You get that, folks? What about you, my listener, is so important and so interesting that the apparatus of the United States intelligence agencies looking all over you has to be a major failure within this government and needs to be corrected. Following the U.S. hype of the so-called Volt Typhoon, false narrative to discredit China in the first half of 2024. By the end of 2024, the U.S. fabricated another so-called hacker group associated with Chinese government, the Salt Typhoon, promoting the narrative of Chinese cyber threats. However, professionals in the field of cyberspace told the Global Times that the so-called Salt Typhoon not only lacks any substantial evidence, but also exposes the fact that U.S. intelligence agencies are conducting large-scale surveillance and espionage against their own citizens. Like they own you, folks. Think about that, how that was phrased. On September 25th, 2024, an exclusive report by the Wall Street Journal claimed that the hackers linked to the Chinese government have broken into a handful of U.S. internet service providers in recent months in the pursuit of sensitive information for preparation of future cyber attacks. As I read that, remember, it must have been over 10 years ago. I talked to you and told you when they were talking about information dominance and the cyber dominance and all that. Government was setting us up for the government to do all this stuff. And again, it's like false flags. It's just blaming someone that didn't do anything, and we all focus in the wrong way. And it's really the corruption inside this very government that was supposed to be a bastion and a beacon to certain other characteristics in a group of people. But this article here, the essence of the so-called SALT typhoon is the large-scale wiretapping and intelligence gathering activities conducted by United States intelligence agencies on its own citizens, including political figures. The breadth and scale of the surveillance targets are astonishing, Lee Yan said. So here we have, again, the compromised ability. You search in on somebody deep enough, and you find some dirt, and then at some point in the future, you can present that to them with your request. In simple terms, SALT typhoon refers to claims made by the U.S. media that hackers have stolen data from U.S. telecommunications agencies regarding surveillance on American citizens, which precisely exposes, quote, the tip of the iceberg, close quote, of the large-scale surveillance conducted by the U.S. intelligence agencies, Zhuang Xiaodong said. The expert believed that U.S. fabricating and sensationalizing the SALT typhoon is to elevate the China threat theory to the China cyber threat theory, attempting to isolate China globally and create momentum for establishing international rules in cyberspace that are favorable to the U.S. Quote, the attacks mainly occurred from Monday to Friday, U.S. time, with no attacks reported during major U.S. holidays, the report said. The five proxy IPs used by the attackers were completely unique and located in Germany, Romania, and other places, reflecting their high awareness of anti-tracing and a rich reserve of attack resources. So that, to me, also sounds like it's a bit like what NATO might try to do as well when it's stretching its tentacles out, don't you think? Sounds about the same there. So we see here now more evidence, and I've told you, Suo Jobsota did do us a favor. He said, well, these agencies can mark the communications and the accesses as if it came from somewhere else. In this case, they kind of touch on that. It can be found from someplace else and then blamed on anybody. So this is a theme that has been going on, at least with our knowledge, since the Snow Job Snowden turned up his stuff. And all the story behind that kind of fell away, but I understand now he's a citizen of Russia, and his wife just applied for citizenship, I think, as well. And so they're having a happy time there, while he was supposed to be able to come here, live here, and defend us from his position when he witnessed, as a whistleblower we call it now, the wrongs of the government. Instead, they attacked him. And somehow he escaped and turned to a country that we vilify, who's protecting him in a way. And now he finds that their government's better than ours. We're talking about egg on our face. And another follow-up here, moving through kind of quickly on these stories. Maybe not so old, maybe even last episode, a few episodes before, but here we have true to form. Is showing Satan Yehu really didn't like being strong-armed by Trump and would rather hold a tantrum than to stop killing people. This is a bit of old news because everyone knows now the outcome, but I wanted to point things out here about this relationship that goes on. And we need to kind of pay attention as we move this thing through what's going on over in the Middle East relative to this guy Satan Yehu and Trump. They might be fighting, but they aren't really too far apart, as I told you. And the nicking of the ear and the suggestion and then underpinning the foundation that Trump wanted to go after Iran as well. And this may come to fruition as there's nothing that I can see coming down the pike here that's being run through that isn't directed toward all of that. There's a lot of distractions going on in the Middle East at this point. But, before the ceasefire that had gone in to effect, Satan Yehu tries to stay relevant, and he vows to continue the genocide over the failure of Hamas to produce a piece of paper. Highlighting these ridiculousnesses relative to what they're trying to stop as these dust-ups, if you will, that this guy makes himself look better than he really is. These are embarrassments. We should be calling them out. And these two peas in a pod are going to need to be focused on here as we move forward. We want to keep our, let's say our boys and girls, our young men and women in the military, safe and free from being involved in more genocide. This becomes more of a moral harm to each one of them if this continues to go as well as all these other things. And here, if you don't think appearances into politics and evading justice isn't more important to Satan Yehu than killing Palestinians with the world's most moral army, We can read Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has threatened to scuttle an impending ceasefire with Hamas if the Palestinian militants group does not provide a list of Israeli hostages it will release in the first phase of the truce. Now, let me point out on there, again, look for the details. Don't just read this and not think about it. This Palestinian militant group is Hamas. This is their government. Whether they're a military or whether they're the civilian part, the civil part of that of those people. And so this is really a statement written as, in a bias. However, we keep track of this. Netanyahu wants to keep control, and they want to keep the narrative that these Palestinian, the government, and the Defense Department, which is their military, they call them militants. They want to make it sound bad. And go look at international law. For those of you that still have it, don't believe this, or have it, and even have a little bit of a doubt, go read international law on, as I read it, about belligerent occupations, in this case, an illegal belligerent occupation relative to Israel doing it, and the lack of self-defense for a belligerent occupier, legal or illegal, and the right of defense and resistance, active resistance against that oppression and occupation by those that are being occupied, in this case, the Palestinians. And so we read this, and we see, notwithstanding all that, this guy, Netanyahu, disregards all of that and still wants to continue killing people because Hamas won't produce a simple piece of paper, which was a list of names of the hostages. And the report here agrees with me when I said last episode that Trump, this supposed Christian, didn't intend to stop the war crimes and genocide at all through having, though he has a legal and moral, importantly, a moral obligation and duty to stop the genocide and the war crimes, but continues with these atrocities and is intending to do so. As I just saw a video, I hope some of you did see it. I don't have a link for it, but I was watching it. I say, as I say, get the word out of their mouth. Don't make it up. Don't read it. Somebody else's rewriting of it. You see the words coming right out of their mouth about what's going on. Trump is answering a reporter, a question from a reporter in one of the signing of document issues. And Trump says that those people, that's the Palestinians, can't be there in the future. And he says this without one shred of care or concern or remorse for the Palestinians at all, no empathy at all. Just that they need to be gone from their own land. And it just sounds to me like one cold murderer is what I see there with Trump. Not a God-fearing, grateful, passionate man at all. Not at all. Being saved by the nick of an ear. No compassion at all. Listen and understand, this is all about the land and the fantastic thing that could be done there once the Palestinians are gone, eradicated, exterminated. The Israeli Prime Minister went on to describe the ceasefire as temporary. Netanyahu added, the ceasefire is as temporary, declaring that Israel will return to fighting if the subsequent stages of the deal are not reached. Netanyahu said that Israeli forces will strike Gaza in new ways and with very great power. So Netanyahu has already declared that the ceasefire is temporary. Well, sure, it's going to be temporary. That's why it's called a ceasefire. No one needed to hear that from him, the most chosen satanic welfare queen. But the admission here from him is a confession, and no more questions really are needed about it. The ceasefire means it matters not that the conditions will themselves cease to stop the fighting. The phases here are irrelevant, ultimately. And Netanyahu admits this is nothing more than a speed bump in his road to genocide. And Trump, the moral protestant, is no peacemaker, but a peace taker, as I mentioned last episode. Trump admits he's up with the genocide and land theft, and will support it. It was Trump who emphasized to Netanyahu that the ceasefire is temporary. Netanyahu is only parroting what he's already been told by Trump will happen in the future, why he also says is they're coming with great power. The limits are going to be loosened. They're loosed from the weapon use. This is essentially all political theater, as well as a tactical reload to execute more atrocities as the ceasefire allows to Israel. And remember, Trump steals Syria's oil, meaning he's a war criminal pursuant to international law and a peace taker, not a peacemaker, relative to that. And we see how that works, and it looks as if to be birds of a feather flock everywhere, apparently. And Satan Yehu's other psychopathic assertions, how more great the power will be this pariah and what he will bring. He's already using 2,000-pound bombs to kill and burn babies. How much greater a hell will Trump ordain that these Palestinians are not already suffering? The Palestinians are caught in the jaws of the raw, corrupt power, it seems to me, and notwithstanding Satan Yehu's piece of paper tantrum, how frivolous that is, how trivial. Israel's cabinet has approved the Israel-Hamas ceasefire and hostage release deal, and as a consequence of the ceasefire deal, Israel's Atzma Yehudit party, led by National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir, announced that he was resigning, as well as some other party, Smotrich or something. He's resigning, but temporarily as well. And so this is a political disaster at one level for Satan Yehu as well, on top of all of this. But he's kind of a gambling man. He's got the savior, their messiah in Trump, backing him up. So these exceptional party psychopaths didn't resign, the ones that did, because a ceasefire won't stop the extermination of the Palestinians, but that the ceasefire stopped the genocide, even temporarily. What madness is this that the world continues to watch and accept this? Who will be devoured next by the jaws of these demonic forces? You want to weigh in here, Trump? Well, you already have, haven't you? You told Satan Yehu to finish the job quickly. And then you gave Satan Yehu, in trade for the temporary ceasefire, the green light to genocide, removing any restrictions on the weapons you're going to be supplying here in the future, which is in the pipeline anyway. So yeah, nice guy, good Christian, bombing innocent people into oblivion. This is not the purpose God nicked Trump's ear in getting his attention and allowing the mandate he wants to claim and the ability to fulfill it. Here's some good advice, cheap, from behind the woodshed. If you aren't playing 5D chess, if eliminating Satan Yehu and his press to Iran isn't in your bingo card, be careful on who you think the master is that nicked your ear, suggesting that you think you're serving. But the hopium beyond hope, this is great behind the woodshed, Trump could be playing in 60. Christian in his service, or kabuki theater for your consumption. We'll see, won't we? This is how Get Trump plays this game. Ultimately, we look at the money. It's the bottom dollar guy. Like the Democrats do, they wrap the money around an ideology. Trump doesn't do that. He goes pretty much simply after the ledger of what the plus and minuses are. And he wants to come out on top. But we'll see here. People are dying over this. Oh, it's a fantastic place over there in Palestine. A lot of things could be done in the future if those people were gone. It's not a peacemaker. Bill Gates reveals details of intriguing dinner with Trump. And this happened right before Trump got into office. But again, as we talk about these stories going in, these reports, these notices to us, and we're going to move from here because it gets even better. Not really. It gets worse, but it gets better. As we watch the techno swamp, the medical swamp, get wrapped up around Trump immediately. Before he even got into office, they were up around him, as I pointed out. And within 3 days, we see the fruits of all this and where it's going. And it's going in the direction that Bill Gates would be proud to see, as he wishes to exterminate. Not by my estimation. He said it himself when he was talking in the TED talk relative to the equation they made of, and said, the only thing we can adjust here is the population of people to save Gaia. Climate change. That's not about the weather either. The billionaire said he was impressed by the U.S. president-elect's interest in healthcare innovation proposals. Not healthcare, innovation. To what? They don't describe. This is like an advertisement. They don't tell you what they're actually talking about. Billionaire Bill Gates has discussed how lessons from the COVID-19 pandemic could be used to accelerate into innovation. But look at those two words always in the sentences, usually when they're trying to end around you at warp speed. Accelerate innovation. How many times have I talked about this? In addressing other global health challenges with the U.S. President-elect Donald Trump, according to the interview the Microsoft founder and vaccine advocate has given to the Wall Street Journal. I bet he didn't tell him that those mRNAs are not vaccines as a matter of law. I bet he didn't say that. And I bet Trump doesn't want to hear it. This peace taker. This law abider. Gates described his recent three-hour dinner with Trump as a long and actually quite intriguing. The meeting, which included incoming White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles and one of Gates' staffers, reportedly focused on how Trump could contribute to significant milestones such as developing a cure for HIV and eradicating polio. And you got to do the research on those. Those are both invented things. I've talked a little bit about these as well, but here we are. Here he is meeting the President of the United States. And the President is all up with this. Genocide, essentially. He was fascinated to hear what we could do to maximize the chance that during the next 4 years, that incredible milestone, eradication of polio, will be achieved, Gates said in a clip published by the Wall Street Journal on Friday. A philanthropath that should be in jail, a war criminal that attacked the population of the world at warp speed with a bioweapon, and the staffer that was or is an industry lobbyist, his clerk. What do these people know about treating people medically? Well, given the great Comey swindle, is the evidence nothing? They have nothing to contribute but crime as a matter of communicable disease law. This is not even my opinion, folks. You've heard me talking about this for 5 years now. Way beyond opinion, I told you that's the only way to fight this and have a basis. You go right to the black and white that all these officials are supposed to follow, and that's going to be help you to be objective, and you don't get into any arguments. You just press for the official duty, and you don't even budge until that gets done in all of its ways. I was frankly impressed with how well he showed a lot of interest in the issues I brought up, he added, noting that Trump appeared energized and looking forward to helping to drive innovation. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, one of the largest non-state contributors to the World Health Organization, apparently not so impressive on Trump, being we also have news coming about the World Health Organization in the United States. The WHO, not the rock group, the owl, or the little people from Whoville, but the World Health Organization has been involved in a number of global health initiatives supporting the efforts to combat disease such as malaria, HIV, and polio, alongside of funding vaccine development and distribution programs. Anybody who's never heard this before, you need to research each one of those and go see their origins, go see how they started. If you need a little bit of heads up, go listen to some of my past broadcasts about what novel is, how they originate, what the infectious agent's supposed to be, what you don't find in the evidence of anything. Get some foundation because they're not going away. I kept telling you they're not, and they're ramping this thing up. It's going to get a lot tougher. I highlighted last week what the CDC and Palantir and the military are doing next. They're going to take this thing right away from everybody and put the decision in so-called AI. That'll be the so-called objective basis. It's far from it. And not only is it garbage in, garbage out, but the program that runs the machine language is garbage in, garbage out. And most of it, as soon as you get garbage, that's all you're going to get is garbage out. There's no way to fix it. But you just heard the intent to mash the pedal to the metal here to accelerate innovation, driving to the next terror campaign and harma heist. So trust the plan. Well, trust the plan. That's what's going on. Trump's all up with it. And I'm really starting to wonder about him even more. I told you a little bit about what happened the first time he was in office. But he's coming here. He's showing his colors already at warp speed. At warp speed. And not good. Not good. Anyway, like I said, don't yell at me to say, well, what is he doing here and here? I'm not going to talk too much about some of that. We'll touch a little bit about all the good that he's doing, like removing J6. He's obligated to do that. We don't give him any more credit for doing what he should do in the office. There's nothing extraordinary that he's doing in the office at this point. We're looking at a history of mediocrity or worse. Criminals, the last one. Organized criminals, the last one. And then someone comes and actually has to do the job, and we look, oh, this guy's fantastic. Well, good, he's doing the job, but he's not doing more than the job. So before we get into it, you get an argument over what I'm saying, put that in perspective. Because we're looking at a danger coming at us. And even if I'm wrong, Trump's gone in 4 years. This doesn't stop. They're building infrastructure right now, building infrastructure, accelerating innovation for the future that they live. And so here we are now. It looks like Gates says, oh, we support the WHO. And then within a few days, the United States is withdrawing from the WHO, the World Health Organization. U.S. President Trump has signed a decree of Washington's withdrawal from the World Health Organization. Quote, withdrawal from the World Health Organization, the announcer announced during the ceremony at the White House, handing Trump a document to sign, which he then signed after. And remember, I've already told you, they did it before, and they undid it right after he left. They got out of the Paris Accord, they undid it right after he left. He brought it back out. You want to be on this yo-yo, or do you want to stop this stuff? When I saw that story, or another story on the ex-Twitter, I responded to it. I said, now that he signed that, he has to advocate to Congress to enact a law to make it permanent with reasons why so it never happens again. And I've said this on this broadcast exactly like this before. This is not even new news. Apparently, he doesn't know about it. And apparently, a lot of people don't understand Trump doesn't make the law. He executes the law. And he executes the law by his orders or his administrative actions. And then people can challenge them if they're unconstitutional, like you're gonna maybe hear in the news. They're already doing the immigration, birthright. It's already been challenged. It's already been held up. Is that act constitutional? Was it pursuant to the law? Trump doesn't make law. So he has to go to Congress and advocate. And this is where I say he was handed the ability to do this from the Senate and the House, having enough votes, Republican votes, to do so. Congress has to enact the law to make the withdrawal of WHO permanent with that reason. And I've talked about what that reason is. They can use that IHR 2005 reservation as a beginning guide to stop the foreign domestic criminal usurpation and include prison time for violations of this. And what's that IHR 2005? Is nothing more than stating the organic establishment of the United States and the states being separate, though equal, if you will, in their respective places, the reservation of certain things to the states. In this case, in this subject matter, it's health. Those were reserved to the states. That's why the CDC is advisory only. That's why the IHR 2005 has a reservation that the federal government put in there. To the astonishment of the rest of the world, they couldn't understand it. But that's the way this place is wired. It's different than the rest of the world. And that's what I was telling you needed to support yourself with in the local communicable disease law. We're still talking about that, yes. Different subject matter. Now they're moving on. But getting out of the WHO is going to be a seesaw unless Congress comes on and makes a law that says you can't. And this is why we can't get into an international body outside of the United States. That's too removed from the states if you get that point too. Not even the federal advisor agencies can be in that place. They'd usurp the Constitution. What you saw, though, was that the locals gave it up and they were bribed. Trump bribed them and they took it. They forego their duty to you in the states. And they went with the cash, which they found out later was mostly loans. They didn't read close enough. No, they grabbed the cash. And so I say at the end of my response here, op hindsight, hashtag hindsight 2020. If anybody wants to see, maybe track down some of all the posts I've done, I put op pound sign hindsight 2020, maybe track down and you can see through who I've always been responding to, what I tell them. It's pretty much the same in different ways. But you need to see the authorities that I'm referencing that no one else does, because you're going to need to use those, and you're going to see my surety about that when I keep responding to it and showing what these things are in as they move forward, as they try to put this thing together against the people and they try to usurp that local law and establishment. But like I said, Trump is up with it. And let me, you say, oh, but he got out of the WHO. Be very careful of what you think Trump is doing or what the effect of what Trump is doing. After you heard what I told you last episode about CDC and Palantir, if I remember, I'll mention what the answer to my question to you is there. You better go look. What do you think? What do you think you're going to find? That WHO is no longer, we're out of it. But does that mean that that threat's gone? I'll just leave it right there. Maybe if I get to it, I'll tell you. If you haven't thought about it. This is a very serious deception, lawyer. And while departing the WHO in a move that looks like Trump is, here it is, bringing the globalism home to roost. Okay, they went too fast. I can't keep a secret. I've got to tell you all the truth. Do you get that, folks? The WHO, you kick them out, but then he onshores globalism. Are you following this? Well, Oracle is. Oracle boss pledges individual IA mRNA cancer vaccine. Larry Ellison, a chosen one for him. All these folks are chosen, apparently. Exceptional. The most moral somebody. Larry Ellison made the announcement at the White House as President Donald Trump unveiled a $500 billion AI infrastructure project. Oracle boss pledges individual IA mRNA cancer vaccines. Think about that, folks. Anybody's been listening to me anytime and you're doing any research, you should be knowing how to parse this out really fast, because you're going to have to be able to do this as we're listening. Look at cancer. Look at the word vaccine. We'll touch that a little bit later. Look at mRNA. Look at AI. Think about what they're coming and what's bringing. And look at the problems that I've been talking to you about on all this. And this is just the surface analysis. There's so much way deeper than this in detail. Oracle CEO Larry Ellison has announced that his company is developing an AI-driven approach to creating personalized cancer vaccines. He highlighted that by utilizing artificial intelligence, an mRNA vaccine can be produced robotically in approximately 48 hours. Let me interject. It's error-prone, quote. It's not an intelligence. And it's error-prone. An mRNA cannot be a vaccine. It's a bioweapon. By definition and by law. I'm giving you the answers already. I'm hoping people think when I'm talking and putting this stuff together for yourself, because you're going to need to be able to put this stuff together that fast as you read things or being told stuff. But when they come at you and you got some pressure to have an answer real fast, as we saw people failing left and right and center and backwards relative to being imposed with mandatory, being imposed with you have to or you lose your job. And that wasn't unreal. That was going to happen. But had you stepped up, those of you that could have, that you would have found out, like you are finding out now, those that stuck with it, they couldn't do that. And they're getting compensated. They'll never get compensated, but they get compensated the way the so-called legal system will allow. But robotically, in 48 hours, is not a vaccine. Personally, I'm going to tell you that. But anyway, that's all for you to figure out, too. Ellison's remarks came as President Donald Trump hosted him and OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, the global eyeball, folks, as well as CEO Masayoshi Son of the Japanese investment firm SoftBank at the White House on Tuesday to announce the launch of Stargate, a new initiative set to invest up to $500 billion, that's bravo dollars, in artificial intelligence infrastructure. Welcoming the program, Ellison said that one of the most exciting things we're working on using the tools that Sam Altman and Masayoshi Son are providing is a cancer vaccine. He explained that the novel approach is two-pronged, with AI first being deployed to detect, quote, little fragments of those cancer tumors floating around in your blood sample. Can I read that again? Can you understand the dynamic already here? Can you understand when they do this as a vaccine and they can say it's a communicable disease? Cancer is a communicable disease? And they mandate it? You're going to have to give a blood sample. What have they been trying to find and get from all of us all this time? What have I talked about over the years relative to Israeli scientists being able to make synthetic DNA? Put you at the scene of a crime, even one they make up. What are they after? What's the military after relative to these biometrics, right, folks? You know, how is this AI being deployed? Did you catch that too? AI is a computer program that is used to search through data. How is that susceptible of deployment? When they get this out of the lab beyond blood sample, can you say deployed injectable nanobot? That's beyond AI. That's more like self-assembling nanostructures that were apparently detected by scientists looking at the Covey-Swindle mRNA bioweapon. Messenger RNA molecules, those mRNA molecules, carry the genetic direction cells need to make proteins. You're hearing an admission here, folks, in this notice to us that they denied all this time. No, we figured it out, but you need to see that they know. You got to work up the culpability here before this thing gets rolling. This statement admits the DNA manipulation that they denied all along. And I told you that when it goes into the system of the cell, it's a hybrid DNA instruction. Then we find out, as it ought to be when you see what the body does with it, it doesn't know how to turn off. It just keeps making itself over and over and over. And then we saw the consequences of that. So are you listening here to this? Are you hearing? I mean, really getting it, what they told us in these very short paragraphs already. Messenger RNA, mRNA molecules carry the genetic directions cells need to make proteins. They've admitted what they did to those of you that took the jab or were in close proximity, particularly you women, because you show the problems not apparent from men. Those in proximity to all y'all that took the jab in the great Covey swindle. They've admitted to it. And we have since learned that the mechanisms that make those proteins, and they do not turn on, they cause the other harms and fatalities that are going on. That's the harma gift that keeps on profitably giving. Not to you, to they. So what is going on to happen? What's going to happen to you when a protein designed for someone else, the proteins of which are known to cause unintended consequences, get into you through proximity? And men demonstrably too at that point. On top of this early cancer detection, quote, once we gene sequence that cancer tumor, you can then vaccinate the person, design a vaccine for every individual person that vaccinates them against that cancer. How many times are they going to vaccinate into this to convince you? They tell you a lie enough times you believe it, I suppose. So I told you, don't listen to them. You look at what they say, you go test it in the laws, or find the objective basis. So you hear on this, again, I just want to stop and just scream a bit, not to you, about this subject matter. This was on the way. This is coming down. They're coming after each one of us. And here is now that. And I still don't see a lot of people understanding this. It sort of drives me a bit nuts. But not nuts. Just, I don't know what more to think. You're looking at the promotion, the admissions, everything. Almost not everything, but a lot of stuff right here about what they did to everybody in the great Covey swindle. And this is, they design a bioweapon for each individual. Just like Fraudshe started doing in 2014, or about that time, around so, for 2014 or so, in Ukrainians' U.S. biolabs, intended for the Russians, the Slavic people. All denied, and yet here it is, right here. But did you know that cancer is a virus? They say it vaccinates against cancer. These products can't be a vaccine unless cancer is a communicable disease, virus. When was that fact non-fraudulently demonstrated? Where is your health savior, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., in all this? Can you see now why they need to change the definition of vaccine? It's the only way to pitch their snake oil, right, Satan? You, Yehu? Don't let them do that. And if they have, in your particular state, your local communicable disease law, find the old definition. Go now. Go find the old vaccination, a definition for vaccine in that local communicable disease law. Find Find it as soon as you can get the time to go do it. Why? Well, because of the Mandela effect susceptibility of the internet. And go by that definition when they get you into the future. That's for you to make your determination. Underneath the communicable disease law, you're going to have some those due process protections I keep telling you about. They really can't really take that away from you. They're going to try and convince you. But if you have this other thing as an idea in you, you use that as your foundation. Now, changing that definition is fraud for private enrichment through unlawful exploitation by deception as well. Remember that. You can assert yourself. Have, like I say, the word in your mouth. It's a little bit more than, I'm just not going to do it. That won't fly. You found that in Australia. That won't fly. And I don't know what to say. I see people not asserting what they can. By asserting it, you at least cause the contention that has to be made public. And if people are around you that also know that, they can help you make it public. Like, let's say, what happened to Ross Ulbricht. He was given a pardon. It took thousands of people coming together on that issue. It takes people coming together on issues. Not much different than Julian Assange, but in a different way. People coming together, putting embarrassment on the corruption of the system, wherever it be. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman similarly predicted that we will be amazed at how quickly we're curing this cancer and that one, and heart disease. Boy, where's the CDC on this one saying cure, folks? Nowhere in sight, correct? Now they've added heart disease. Be amazed, folks. Be amazed. But get behind the woodshed to set these miscreants straight. The U.S. president hailed Stargate as a monumental undertaking and a resounding declaration of confidence in America's potential that would create around 100,000 new jobs while ensuring the future of technology in the U.S. amid its competition with China. 100,000 jobs for millions harmed irreparably or fatally, and it's all about competition with China. Did you realize that? He's not interested in your health at all, sounds like to me. Trump is pretending to be oblivious to the resounding potential to cause vast irreparable harm to Americans and America, totally the economy as well, by the chosen, no less, as he did at warp speed. Then I also understand by the statements of their highly regarded rabbis, the other important people to them, they have it in for America to subdue her and her people, and they're doing it. So keep trusting that plan, folks. Keep trusting the plan. During Tuesday's event, Ellison stated that the first Stargate data centers are already under construction in Texas. Data center? Stargate? Data center? How quaint. You're getting to read big data right there when you hear that? Yeah, it's not a medical facility, is it? Not a medical lab, research lab, no. And I know they exist. I used to live around them. So this is not anything medical. This is a big data. It's all about big data. Getting that your genetic information for identification for the digital gulag, the 23andMe op that failed, is going to be taken over by this. Now you can see why Oracle is interested as Palantir would be and working with the CDC and the military using the military's databases. Just as I've outlined for you behind the woodshed in previous episodes. Military databases, no different than any other military base, is what came to me when I read that, as I see this rolling out. Gives more credibility to the idea those nasal swabs were military DNA gathering tools, don't it? The TechnoSwap is evolving. Not being drained, but filled with the chosen TechnoSwap parasites, Trump's billionaire hobnobbers, and trillionaire banker buddies. Don't you love when their plan against you is coming together? Right, Trump? The new technology has apparently enabled researchers to more effectively redesign proteins in a way that improves stem cell production, Boy, that's a big statement in a paragraph on a number of different subject matters. I won't go through that. But redesigning proteins, your DNA is nothing more than a protein string. And then the stem cell, that's the root cells that go that are neutral, that can be doing, be shown and instructed or put in an environment that make them, allow them to do what they are going to do there as instructed. The latter play, the stem cells, will play a key role in regenerative medicine. Like, we don't have enough problem with the spike protein, but regenerative medicine, as they are able to differentiate into various cell types, offering potential treatments for age-related diseases. Now it was the heart conditions, it was, well, now it's over, now, vaccine, now it's into age-related. We all want to stay young forever, don't we? But potentially? You mean after $500 billion in welfare subsidy, we will only be looking at a potential? And then only just something more effectively, not effectively? What do you mean, age-related disease? I thought you said AI was going to provide longevity, eliminate cancer and heart disease. Was that longevity actually speaking to your profit line from cradle to grave? That's what y'all intended, right, Hitlery? Because as a corporate CEO, corporate profits is all y'all CEOs are responsible for. At the end of the day, isn't that true? But there's so much to speak to in this. Please get the link in the blogcaster or in the description, wherever you're finding the video that Sound is putting out or the syndicators are helping to put out. And go to this article, read it, so that you can start to understand. I just extracted a part of what I can talk about here. Again, so much to cover. Now, I can't say I'm feeling any love from Trump in this either. Just like I saw him say, well, those people got to be gone. They can't be there for the future in Palestine. Cold, cold, murderous thought. So much detrimental in all this. All done in, that he's doing, it's all done in the first days after the inauguration. It's stunningly bad. As I said last episode, not too terrific. Right, Trump? Now, he'll deny it. Doesn't even see it. Why? Because he's going to focus on all the great things and all fantastic and all the beautiful things he's going to say they are. But what does Trump know, actually? He doesn't respect the Russian people enough to correctly reference their sacrifices in the world. He says that he loves Russian people while then threatening them with a further very stupid sanctions, as we've seen. Threatening people you love is not peacemaking. Threatening anyone is not peacemaking. And Russia won't put up with that sort of disrespect. Why do I say that? Because I didn't say that. Putin did. Remember? When Putin warned that the potential dialogue could only happen as an equal and mutually respectful basis, said during a meeting of the Russian National Security Council. Trump sounds like he's suffering from Munchausen syndrome by proxy, mistreating the victim you love ills fabricated by the perpetrator, saying, we can do it the easy way or the hard way, and the easy way is always better, Trump, he said, warning Moscow. Are threats not mutually respectful or at least equal status in the least? What is he thinking? Trump has much better alternatives than hurting the people he says he loves. For starters, he could stop the war against Russia that America started in earnest in Ukraine in 2014. Right, Newland? I replied to Medvedev regarding this absolute diplomatic failure and whether Russia will finish off any further attempt at it. This is a real serious discussion they're having. They're having it. Russia is not having any of this. So I don't know what Trump thinks he's doing, threatening the people he loves. Russia's not having it, despite its continuing diplomatic question. They're kind of kicking this decision down the road, which is what I engaged in my reply to Medvedev. Trump is at least tone-deaf to his own exceptional embarrassment. Age-related hearing loss, maybe? Maybe he needs that vaccine, that injection. Trump really needs to get better people around him when some of these, the street urchins, like those behind the woodshed, know the situation about Ukraine and Russia better than the President of the United States. This is such a national disgrace already. The clear and present danger now moving to a Stargate near you. The techno-swap portal to the global Siberian gulag will not make America great again, or ever. But the news this week is Trump unveils, Trump launches, Trump threatens, Trump this, Trump that, Trump, Trump, Trump. But not many are looking at the details of the consequences. The hopium is great while the sun is still setting on the empire of lies, threats, and the art of the steal. Trump is the archetype which speaks to your aspirations and doing just enough domestically to keep you captured. Who could argue with the freeing of the J6? But that won't change the evil intention meant to keep everyone captive through a misnamed Stargate. How is a digital data center getting anyone to the stars? But the thought pumps Mars, doesn't it? As Trump just said, quote, we will pursue our manifest destiny into the stars, launching American astronauts to plant the stars and stripes on the planet Mars. Using Elon Musk's SpaceX, of course, using Musk's Starship. Do you think these techno-swap rats are working together in promoting the greatest show on Earth? A starship to Mars, a Stargate to the cyber gulag of the Panopticon Matrix. What say you, P.T. Barnabas? And speaking of AI accuracy, this is what y'all have to look forward to in this land of the slave. Another new story breaking, U.S. investigators using AI to find criminals, resulting in arrests of innocents, the report says, as you've already heard behind the woodshed, but again happening in the report this week, over and over and over, error prone, AI error prone. How much more incrimination in a death care system looking for subjects will we see through Oracle and Palantir and the CDC and in the background the WHO, because we don't belong there, but we've imported globalism. Trump done that. He brought all the mechanisms inside the United States, as I told you they were sitting to do. He's now engaging them. Promoting them. 15 police departments in 12 states detained suspects identified by AI algorithms without any independent evidence linking them to the crime, the Washington Post newspaper reported, adding that the law enforcement agencies in most cases contradict their own internal policies, which required to back up any evidence found with the help of AI. And so now you're looking at a weakness of what I told you. Go get your policies. You don't have to go get the law changed. Get the policies that executing the law that might be good. Find the policies. Make the policies so they don't get out of line. They're not even following the policies. They're not following the internal policies. So you're just looking at a bunch of lawless critters inside your government, pretending to be government and serving the people. So as I say, we have a bigger work for we the people, essentially. Trump ain't going to be it. It's just not going to happen. He could. He could. But there's nothing till right now that I can see that isn't already a part of the duty of the office that he's doing to actually propel us into that the future that we want. No, it's always the future that they want. And his compromised cabinet will want. And then is from his lips to Satan Yehu's ears. According to the Washington Post investigation, at least 8 people were mistakenly detained by U.S. investigators using facial recognition technology. In some cases, the police did not check the suspects' alibis or false witness statements, and in others, they ignored fingerprints and DNA traces that pointed to other people, the report read. Well, that might get a little bit easier for the AI to be right. You just fabricate your DNA, put a picture to it, there it is. You've done it. How's that? They'll have everything they need just to fabricate a thing. And AI will do it. AI will put together something. Lots of people are seeing it. They're witnessing it. It'll just deny that it lied. It'll deny that it made it wrong. It'll argue that it was right. And this is why I was telling you about confining these machine language programs. The AI doesn't know anything. It doesn't live in a world. It just has data that goes through it. Because I'm learning more about these things, and maybe you can pick these up looking for yourself. You have, in your question, which still has to be a summary question. It has to be what you're asking and what you need to get out of it, but it has to be a short question that still contains, it restricts the world that the AI will answer to. And I'm, this is a technique you might want to try. Put in things in your questions that are things that won't work. And you only find those by asking questions, and it'll give you those. And then you put those in as negatives. They didn't, that didn't work, this didn't work, this didn't work. Now how do you do it? Confine the AI's world. Now, that's not being done on many of anything. That's why our answers are coming back wrong, erroneous, especially in an open-ended question. What are the chemicals that would work in order to make a vaccine? What are the chemicals that would go work in order to do this thing? And we heard that the AI came up with 4,900 different materials put in. It came up with, I can't remember now the number, a couple dozen or 400 different potential chemicals that would work. When they got them down to the last 10 or 12, not one actually could do a thing that it was asked to do. And that still had to be tested, is how far really away we are to even come close to even giving AI a little bit of credit. How much error I'm finding in looking and watching people use the AI is pretty astonishing. But this is what it is. They're going to give all this information. The DNA traces will be given up to Oracle. The fingerprints will be given up by whatever method that they want to do, probably through your phone. And you have either your facial prints going on, you're giving everybody, whether or not they force that going through, if you're a flyer, they get all this information. It's going to Oracle. It's going to be put through this AI. And this is going to be going into making medicines for you. They want you to believe. The newspaper found the investigators ignored, and they're wrong. Because what they're looking for is top dollar. They're looking at more money. They falsely accuse you of having a health problem in order to treat it. Like this in the reverse is the fight, they're incriminating innocent people. Because their algorithm and failing to do the policy algorithm of the law is now broken. They're not following that either. They're making it up. Like a little black box. He's watching organizational AI here. The flesh and blood type. The organic AI making mistakes left and right. Because they just can't follow simple black and white stuff, as I tell you to follow. The newspaper found the investigators ignored obvious differences in the appearance of criminals caught on CCTV and suspects identified by AI. In one case, the police arrested a pregnant woman and accused her of carjacking despite no evidence of the actual crime being the criminal being pregnant. The real scale of the problem is most likely much larger, the report said, adding to the U.S. investigators are not legally required to provide data on the use of the AI facial recognition. Let me add to the little twist onto that. What about a block on all information for any health matters? Talk about a cult. Yeah, you're not going to find any of that stuff. Not even the victim of it, if you're alive. But welcome to the prison industrial complex in Slavelandia in America, Stan Lynn. This is the future that they want. And Trump is up. I just can't believe this. He's either the dumbest guy I've ever seen, literally. I know it's going to insult a lot of you folk. Maybe not my listener. A lot of people think this guy is the bee's knees. I don't see it yet. I do see he's got a bit of integrity. He's a somewhat of a man of his word, but I don't know what he thinks his word means, actually. A vaccine is beautiful. Fantastic land over there in Palestine. What's the context of that, though? We don't know what's in his mind. And then we hear, again, what these failures we see coming along. We're not told certain other things either. But here's your DOGE. Here's your D-O-G-E. Just as I said, it would be an advisory council. But let's go right to the punchline, though, first in this article. As we watch the failures in the execution of what's going on. All to bring on a different thing than what we, the people, would have thought we were talking. Those of us street urchins talking street language. DOGE ran into trouble even before the executive order was published as a collection of public interest advocacy groups filed a lawsuit that argues that the body doesn't meet the transparency requirements of the Federal Advisory Committee Act. And to do what? U.S. President Donald Trump has renamed, listen carefully what they did here, renamed the U.S. Digital Service, the Department of Government Efficiency, and given it a mission to modernize government technology. So it's not doing more than modernizing the technology from the renamed Digital Service Department. The technology that all the current agencies use, it's not actually looking at whether that agency should exist or functions efficiently outside of the technology. It doesn't sound to me like the type of efficiency most people were thinking about to bring about smaller government, more lean and mean and great again. This is actually about modernization. I've been talking about this for over a decade. It's foreign modernizing, bringing all the agencies into the future that they want. But true to his word, on Monday, the day of his inauguration as president, Trump issued an executive order creating the agency, or rather, renaming the digital service to DOGE. At the same time, Vivek Ramaswamy, who was supposed to run DOGE with Elon, he's already on a first-name basis, I just noticed right there, with Elon, not Elon Musk, like Cher, what a celebrity. Elon has bailed out. Vivek has bailed out to run for governor in Ohio. Well, it's not really true to Trump's word, but why would Vivek bail? Well, he was never really going to be in it, remember? You listen very carefully to what they did there. Where would a billionaire pharma dealer fit into a computer systems hardware and software upgrade advisory committee? So this is more show from the smooth talkers. Cost cutting is not explicitly mentioned in the order, which instead gives DOGE the job of modernizing federal technology and software and maximize efficiency and productivity. DOGE's tech-centric mission of slashing, reminding us of when Musk took over Twitter, is reflected in the fact that it will inhabit the U.S. Digital Services, the USDS, which pursues a mission to deliver better government services to the American people through technology and design. DOGE's first orders of business is to, quote, commence a software modernization initiative to improve the quality and efficiency of government-wide software, network infrastructure, and information technology, or IT systems. IT information systems. Can you say government big data acquisition and integration for the future that they want? I knew you could. They refer to it as Musk's DOGE. Now, I suppose the entire government will be presented like an ex-Twitter on steroids to us. The USDS administrator will work with agency heads to promote interoperability between agency network and systems, ensure data integrity, and facilitate responsible data collection and synchronization. Those agencies' heads must ensure USDS has full and prompt access to unclassified agency records, software systems, and IT systems. You hear anything about their budgets or their policies or how they're executing it and what they do with their people? No, it's strictly a digital infrastructure improvement system, a modernization. What have I told you about modernization? I've said it a couple times in this broadcast. I told it to you when they modernized all the services in your life back around 2010, 2011. Now, as I've said, the government is about making it more efficient to bring you into the Siberian gulag, not to limit the gargantuan government. That's what modernization is about. That's also tied to the sustainable development, which everybody I see roll their eyes and think, oh, we don't want to do that. No, it's in your government. It's how it functions. It's where it's going. The military is a part of it. They're not going to limit gargantuan government. They're going to make it more efficient to extract your civil rights, those wrongful extortions called exactions, of every kind, of course, that anyone can read for themselves at 42 U.S.C. 1981. And don't miss subsection C. It talks about non-governmental organizations. They cannot take away this power of the government to commit extortion against you. Now to be modernized on top of that. Do you think Trump is doing anything different than Russia in this regard? I've talked about this too. Does anybody, when you read these news articles, these notices, these news notices, do you pick this up yourself? I hope you do. I don't want to, I know you folks listening to me, sometimes I guess you might get a little upset with me, like I talk like you don't know. I don't know what y'all know. No one comments. Comment. Tell me. Yeah, I found that here. I found you're right or we're wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. That's fine. I got no problem with all that. Let's get it worked out though. I don't speak to those that know. I'm speaking to those that may have never heard this stuff or didn't research far enough. Because that's not even the point. The point is understanding the properness of what we need to know and then taking action. So I hope you're all are read enough to say no relative to is Trump doing anything different than Russia is in this regard, and to know why you said no. And I've explained it on this broadcast relative to Putin and what they're doing with their digital currency and their taxation system and their digitization of it all. And if you think the Doge was ever about efficiency, wouldn't it have been much more efficient? Because Trump has to go to Congress to remove the agencies it created. That Doge would have been tasked, even limited to digital services upgrades, after Congress pared down the government agencies than before the agencies were to be removed. Yeah, reduce the size of government before you update those systems, right? Less systems to upgrade, right? Less cost to do it, right? More efficient, right? Yeah. So much for Mr. Efficiency and cost-cutting reduction. Remember, Musk is a government contractor, and this streamlining appears to favor government contractors, not necessarily we the people. You following that? I hope so. But cutting corners here may not be such a good thing. And there's no oversight. People could get hurt or property could be damaged in some of these things. We built a machine that operates as Rube Goldberg machine. It needs to be disassembled. It needs to be disassembled, but it needs to be done so that it doesn't hurt people. But it also in the disassembly shouldn't be used to take advantage. But as I said, there's a monopolization going on in this modernization as well. Everything gets pared down into the future that they want. But it'll still cost more and more money. It'll be more and more inefficient. Well, you can see that in Canada. The bureaucracy gets bigger and bigger. And I'd say what kind of sandwich Trump is trying to feed y'all with this order, but it would be distasteful. The order does not appear to offer an opportunity for agency elimination, even as an advisory council either. As I told you, they just advise somebody to pick up some information and look at it. This is such an embarrassment and a shady dealer to we the people already. Whether some people will admit to this or not, completely and predictably, I might add, because he was told already behind the woodshed that this bill of goods, the bait and switch in the art of the steal, the advisory council to the executive indeed, remember the punchline I opened with here, that argues the body doesn't meet the transparency requirements of the Federal Advisory Committee Act, shows the Doge inhabiting the United States Digital Service Department is still and only an advisory committee and nothing more. Dismissible at the discretion of the White House Chief of Staff that they're to report to, which under the Advisory Council Act makes the Chief of Staff the lead agency to the Doge, the DOGE, to enforce what it finds. The DOGE isn't a powerhouse to smaller government either. By P.T. Barnabusk or Trump, or as they promoted. Notwithstanding that the public interest advocacy group's beliefs, transparency, in the way I'm explaining it to you, what is modernization, what does it do, infrastructure, what is that about, capacity building, all these terms, innovation, what they do there. Transparency does not mean seeing into, but rather or not whether or not people see that, whether they're being duped on this. Is to keep them from seeing what they're being duped from. It's a hopium. It's got to be the worst drug in the world. See, my hopium, such that it may be, is founded upon the presumption of innocence and giving the benefit of the doubt. Trump has quickly moved to convict himself. any hopium high is already turning into a hangover. Maybe even the presumption of innocence is too lenient when it comes to politicians. And in revisiting this archetype thesis regarding Trump the hero, his opening performance on the Kabuki stage is beginning to take on not the savior character, actually fulfilling the aspirations of the people, but into that anti-hero, just like Musk, the character that has a choice between the good and evil, now showing, if not obviously evil, for now, the mediocre, which will allow the future evil that they want, what the billionaire and trillionaire clubs want, the clubs wanting to beat you into submission, kinder and gentler, more humanitarian, of course, but beat you into submission nonetheless. Then the evidence for us of Trump falling short is the even juvenile, disrespectful act of renaming the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, because doing so will make America great. The first and most important thing Trump did after acquiring the office of President of the United States was to show America is great in renaming the Gulf. Is that what I'm supposed to understand here? This looks like, to me, more like the smoke and mirrors, which turns out to be an international embarrassment. If we're reading around, you'll start to see them. But it's very entertaining stage and dance song, isn't it? Don't you think? We don't have any more pressing problems to correct than that. Name me all the more important things to be done than renaming the Gulf of Mexico, and Trump did not do those more important things instead. Is your glitch in the matrix not boding well for the detrimental things that will outlast Trump, such as establishing this AI Siberian gulag with this renamed Digital Services Modernization Act? It's not an act, his actions. If it is that Trump and Musk are the anti-hero, there needs to be a hero in this story, then, as it looks like he's moving characters. This is BTW RLM 613. But this hero is not looking like Trump. Like I said, be careful before you believe I shouldn't be saying so, that Trump's doing great things. Yeah, he's doing some very good things. He's doing some justice. But that's his job. That's within his duty. He's not doing extracurricular work within his abilities and powers to do. He's expected to do it. You think he's not expected to protect the border that everybody else before didn't? Or to some measure did? And not enough? Or whatever? It's not the measure that he comes along and absolutely starts to do that. That's part of that job, part of that office. But this here is not going to be, it doesn't look like Trump to me as I watch this play out. So within this archetype, the hero must be you, we the people, to finally alter and abolish these promoters to the future that they want and create the future that is best for us, not the billionaire boys club or the trillionaire banksters. And with that, I want to address a consideration that was an older story, a lot older, about the time all this, about 2014, when all this stuff started, nonsense started happening. All these things around the world were laid out. The fraud cheese in biolabs in Ukraine, the information that's coming about the medical, the pharma situation, the WHO then, all this stuff. It's all an interesting time. Study, U.S. is an oligarchy, not a democracy. And so put this into play as the academics are looking into what this place has become. And you notice they balanced it off a democracy, which we aren't either, as the United States of America. The U.S. is dominated by rich and powerful elite. The billionaire boys are the trillionaire banksters. It seems that that's true. So concludes a recent study external by Princeton University professor Martin Gillens and Northwestern University professor Benjamin I. Page. This is not news, you say, perhaps, but the two professors have conducted exhaustive research to try to present data-driven support for this conclusion. Here's how they explain it. Multivariate analysis indicates that economic elites and organized groups representing business interests have substantially independent impacts on U.S. government policy while average citizens and mass-based interest groups have little or no independent influence. Let me ask you, based on what we just saw this week, or those that did watch this and see it, Oracle standing invited by Trump to stand down in, I guess it's the White House press area, whatever, invited down there. Oracle, billionaire company. Ellison, invited down there. Altman, billionaire companies. The banker, invited. Were you invited? Was your aspirations invited to go speak to try and bring forth your initiative, your hopes and dreams and aspirations to bring back a better government, bring back a better America? No. It's all going toward the future that they want. And Trump invited them, not you. So that highfalutin first paragraph in English means the wealthy few move policy, while the average American has little power. But let's go here to the study and read a bit from it. A lot of the truths here that they're identifying, again, remember that they started this thing wrong. We're not in a democracy. It may be an oligarchy, but we're not in a democracy. And maybe everyone thinking that we were is what got the problem going. We were to be a Republican form of government with constitutional limitations. And we hear a little bit about that. We hear some challenges, constitutional challenge. And even though the Supreme Court wants to overthrow some of the old, what I would consider bad decisions, like Roe versus Wade, again, health matters are for the states, not the federal government, to start with. So, I've talked about a little bit more, but we've got this whole thing disorganized, not established the way the organic establishment was, so it's causing a lot of trouble. But these two professors came to the conclusion after reviewing answers to 1779, not 1776, but 1779 survey questions asked between 1981 and 2002 on public policy issues. They broke the responses down to income level and then determined how often certain income levels and organized interest groups saw their policy preferences enacted. A proposed policy change with low support among economic elites, Americans, one out of five in favor, is adopted only about 18% of the time, they write, while a proposed change with high support, four out of five in favor, is adopted about 45% of the time. On the other hand, when a majority of citizens disagrees with the economic elites and or with organized interests, they generally lose. So what did Trump lead with this Oracle Stargate? But the $500 billion that's going to be invested in order to get this going. It's all about the money, isn't it, there? And who's running that? Who was the show that day for that thing? Moreover, because the strong status quo bias built into the U.S. political system, even when fairly large majorities of Americans favor policy change, they generally do not get it. They conclude, Americans do enjoy many features central to democratic governance, such as regular elections, freedom of speech and association, and widespread, if still contested, franchise. We'll look that word up, folks. But we believe that if policymaking is dominated by powerful business and organizations of small number of affluent Americans, then America's claims to being a democratic society are seriously threatened. Eric Zeus, writing in Counterpunch, isn't surprised by the survey's results. Quote, American democracy is a sham, no matter how much it's pumped by the oligarchs who run the country and who control the nation's news media, he writes. The U.S., in other words, is basically similar to Russia and most other dubious electoral democratic countries. We weren't formerly, but we clearly are now. This is the Duh Report, says Death and Taxes magazine Robin Penencia. Maybe, she writes, Americans should just accept their fate. Is that what you just want to do? Accept your fate to the Siberian Gulag, as you just heard stated, is being started? It's not a stargate to the stars. No, you're going to use a starship for that to go to Mars. Your stargate's to the Siberian Gulag. You have stars in your eyes to get there. Perhaps we ought to suck it up. Maybe admit we have a classist society and do like England, where we have a House of Lords and a House of Commons, she writes, instead of pretending as though we all have some kind of equal opportunity. Is that what we want to do? Is that how we want to go? Are these guys right? It sure sounds like they're correct enough. And as I suggest, crickets, we were supposed to do better. We were written into our reservations of power as the people that we could alter and abolish. And we haven't set a peep since the start of this thing, and we were told by the people that we're closer to that. But this thing's supposed to be challenged about every 20 years. The blood of patriots and tyrannists and all. So I'll let you read more about these, the comments that were coming from this. There's more to that. And we can start to decide. Maybe there's no will. We, again, put the shackles on us and lick our chains. I guess we can't. I literally, part of me, started doing this research to understand why people were being put in jail when they simply had a challenge to the government. A lot of it was in taxes, not that I wasn't in taxes. It was something I was observing. How are all these people getting put in jail just for saying I shouldn't owe these taxes? But it branched out really quickly. And I told you my first study was really not in tax law. It ended up being an international law. And I said at some point, I believe it served me very well. And then we're here. And we're doing international things. And yet I went back to tax law and I said, yeah, there is some problems, but let's go look at those exactions of every kind, which I'd already found. I said, well, there's the problem. So who governs? Who really rules? To what extent is the broad body of U.S. citizens the sovereign, semi-sovereign, or largely are they powerless? Conclusions, the report and study is. What do our findings say about democracy in America? They certainly constitute troubling news for the advocates of populist democracy who want governments to respond primarily or exclusively to the policy preferences of their citizens. In the United States, our findings indicate that the majority does not rule, at least not in the casual sense of actual determining the policy outcomes. When a majority of citizens disagrees with economic elites or with organized interests, they generally lose. Moreover, because of the strong status quo bias built into the U.S. political system, even when fairly large majorities of Americans favor a policy change, they generally do not get it. A possible objection to populistic democracy is that the average citizen is unattentive to politics and ignorant about public policy. Why should we worry if their poorly informed preferences do not influence policymaking? And that right there reflects a flaw in the original design, or should I say the requirements that would have been interfered with. The founding fathers assumed, like themselves, the population would be highly informed. And after a time, the government went about interfering with that requirement by the overrepresented oligarchical and special interests. To keep that republic requires an informed people. That's what the founding fathers, I believe, said, if I remember my readings correctly. We do not have any of that today. And it's certainly unreachable with a fiat, a debt system. There is no sovereignty in the people with that at all. And this is implied in a rejection of the propriety of oligarchical or special interests in the study. It says, most important, we see no reason to think that informational expertise is always accompanied by an inclination to transcend one's own interest or in determination to work for the common good. All in all, we believe that the public is likely to be a more certain guardian of its own interests than any feasible alternative. So the study finds no reasonable alternative to the sovereignty of the people, each to decide best for their own interests, as the study also identifies that analysis of the United States politics centered on economic elites go back to Charles Beard, who maintained that the chief aim of the framers of the United States Constitution was to protect private property, favoring the economic interests of wealthy merchants and plantation owners rather than the interest of the then majority small farmers, laborers, and craft workers. But remember, in that statement, each property owner relative to government land disposal is an economic interest that is to be unaffected by any political or economic interest outside of that interest. It says exclusive disposal. Remember, I've been talking about this forever, as long as I've been doing broadcasts about this property. So by that very basis, America is not a democracy. No democracy or mob rule is to affect the exclusive possession, enjoyment, or use forever, as you'll see on patents. that is the grant evidence, ultimate evidence of that grant by the government. It's like a domestic, it is a domestic treaty signed by the president and the Congress in enacting the law. That's forever. And that the private property is to be protected as an obligation by the government. In effect, each property owner is a wealthy merchant or plantation owner relative to the organic intention to private production and to the land to do that as a foundation for your societies. The people don't enjoy this at this point, or as the fiat system has now exploited through by it, with the help of the courts as political activists under color of the law of justice, or lobbyists that shows that the country is not the republic established, that we don't need no sneaking study like this to tell us that if we understood it. Again, now I'm back right back to the, are we really an informed people? So they write, leaving aside the difficult issue of divergent interests and motives, we would urge that the superior wisdom of economic elites or organized interest groups should not simply be assumed. It should be put to empirical test. New empirical research will need to pin down the precisely who knows how much and what about which public policies. Our findings also point toward the need to learn more about exactly which economic elites, the mere affluent, the top 1%, the top 0.1%, have how much impact upon public policy and to what ends they wield their influence. Similar questions arise about the precise extent of influence of particular sets of organized interest groups. And we need to know more about the policy preferences and to the political influence of various actors to be considered here, including political party activists, government officials, and other non-economic elites. We hope that our work will encourage further exploration of these issues. Despite the seemingly strong empirical support in previous studies for theories of majoritarian democracy, our analysis suggests that majorities of American public actually have little influence over the policies our government adopts. Americans do enjoy many features central to democratic governance, such as regular elections, freedom of speech and association, and a widespread of still contested franchise. And take note in that last paragraph, property rights are not in a feature in a democracy or democratic governance, as stated in the study. This is a special clue and insight when you understand what I've been telling you. As you read through these things, you have a different insight. You've studied enough, you start to read something else in these studies, as well as you read for the omissions. And I just gave you a little clue there. It's important to understand democracy does not include the feature of property or property rights. It's why in a direct democracy, there can be no property or rights, let alone protected by the government. And as a trust obligation on top of that, that feature does not exist under a mob rule called democracy, direct representative, or otherwise. Right, P.T. Barnabas Gratt? But we believe that if policymaking is dominated by powerful business organizations, a small number of affluent Americans, then America's claim to being a democratic society are seriously threatened, which highlights this passage in the study and the title from the BBC article, U.S. is an oligarchy, not a democracy. The British monarch taking note, I just touched on how far from the republic we the people have allowed this organic establishment to be abused by the oligarch, pointing to democracy as their license. Thomas Ferguson's analysis of the political importance of major investors might be seen as a theory of economic elites. Most recently, Jeffrey Winters has posited a comparative theory of oligarchy in which the wealthiest citizens, even in the civil oligarchy like the United States, dominate policy concerns, crucial issues of health, wealth, and income protection. But remember, there is no pee in a cup. There's no pee in the cup, and I would use this study, even with its admitted failings, right up front, as the basis for initiating, and I guess I'm doing that here, for the proposition that there is a breach of trust by government failing to keep the republic, now needing to be altered or abolished. And I think an intelligent review will provide for the altering of the current usurped and unduly influenced government to prohibit the elements identified in this study to bring the ship of state more closely again to the republic that was to be kept by we the people. But from the mass of uninformed people who would be capable of doing that work and should explain that the predicament we the people are in as the oligarchs and special interests have turned the republic into a merchant's plantation, soon more efficiently run now as a Siberian gulag, is direct democracy indeed. Right, false prophet P.T. Barta Muskrat? And moving on to more corruption and organized criminal syndicates, from the false prophet to the false prophet, and why I've heard some say I believe to be an error is Elon Muskerade, the Antichrist. I've said he is more the antihero in his antics and statements, of which the character is more of the false prophet. We are told here, if you read through Daniel 11:52, that the Antichrist will have a particular feature which is just now being officialized by the fallible Pope after being normalized in the last decade and more recently in the news. Now, Vatican welcomes gay priests. Homosexuals joining the priesthood just must remain in the closet according to a new directive from the Holy See. The Vatican has... Stop me when you haven't heard this through these offices through history. You need to go research all these things. They keep coming around in the news to us. They mean something. What is going on here? This story, the Vatican has given gay men the go-ahead to become priests, provided they remain celibate and remain from promoting gay culture, according to the directive published by the Italian Bishops' Conference on Thursday. The document was agreed by the CIE in November and published on Thursday with authorization from the Vatican. It will remain in force for a trial period of 3 years. It states that persons and with homosexual tendencies wishing to join the clergy must commit to celibacy as their heterosexual counterparts are so do. However, the document continues, the church cannot admit to the seminary and the holy orders those who practice homosexuality, present deeply rooted homosexual tendencies, or support the so-called gay culture. Whether I want to put a religious or secular front on this is irrelevant. Taking wise counsel of the potential at Daniel's 11:37 gives us some insight as to what to observe in someone that I said to be the greatest deceivers would be coming out and dominate the world, the beast. The Pope is adding another load to that pyre, another log load to that pyre. Daniel 11:37 says, and listen here carefully, something came to me almost a year ago that I've been watching on this, based on our recent history, and niggling, if you please, that began to shape up into an ever-viable possibility, further here highlighting by the latest fallibility decision. If you think that the Pope is the head of Christianity, or even if you don't, Daniel 11:37 reads, listen carefully again, one of the identifying marks of this beast is, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desires of women, nor care for any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. This setting the seeds for perceived, and P.T. Barnabas promoting the secular mirror image in the German AfD far-right leader, who's a gay woman, portraying a male role, intentionally not married, only partnered to a woman, mirroring that male marriages evidencing no desire of women as a normalizing function. The controversies, let's say, in Obama and Michael, or Macron and Brigitte, normalizing the function is to bring about acceptance of the beast that may not desire women, but could desire men in an open relationship, and still be globally acceptable to the main, the Antichrist identity completely occulted in the plain sight, transparent to everyone. The Pope responds, who am I to judge? But while we're not to judge others in the regard, we are to discern truth from error relative to the subject matter, truth from error, grounded in Scripture. What's our basis? What's our foundation out of our opinions? What does otherwise counsel might say? I can't disregard looking at that book. It may be difficult in translation, but we have to kind of keep plugging through that. And we're supposed to have a helper if we ask for it, and we're worthy. But did you forget about that discernment? Who am I to judge Mr. Infallible One? What if the public controversy is disclosure and isn't about their private lives, but prepping your mind for a future deception for which you need to have keen powers of discernment for, because your truth, the way in life, depends on it. I don't have to believe in any particular gay relationship is true to see gay relationships as a model that also allows me to identify a master deceiver that we are told will come along intending to destroy us, one of the characteristics of which, he shall not desire women, or as said in an interlinear I read, not regard, and this is from the Hebrew, the Nesim or Hemdat, not regard of women the desire. In that regard, Obama's and Macron's are irrelevant as a judgment, and it isn't otherwise our business. But who am I to judge, right, Pope Francis? Well, except the fraud it would be upon the general population, contrived to gain your representative favor to their false profit, unjustly, at your sustainable expense and irreparable harm. But as a point for future discernment beyond the attestations and promotions of a false prophet, whether or not P.T. Barnum must be that like kind, is being able to identify the lawless destroyer despite the wonders he has wrought, or just someone mimicking the Christ mimic on top of that. But we hear also the fallible one confirms files of Vatican's dark dealings. What are they setting us all up for? What are they setting up our perceptions? Perception management. Cognitive warfare. The master deceiver has a quality. Very interesting one. The only thing I can see sets them apart from just about anybody else. So we're not looking at people who are saying that Elon Musk is or Trump is. No, we can already tell right there. If this is a wise counsel for us, then we already know that's not the point. And yet our minds, our perception are being seeded for the acceptance, as they apparently have been, maybe, relative to world leaders. A sitting pope has for the first time revealed the existence of files detailing abuse and dark dealings in the Catholic Church. Pope Francis has confirmed that he's inherited a large white box of documents detailing crimes by clergy when he took over the predecessor Benedict the 16th. The revelation features in the pontiff's autobiography, Sparrow or Hope. Francis became pope in 2013 following the unexpected resignation of Benedict the 16th, formerly German Cardinal Ratzinger, who was the first pontiff in almost 600 years to step down citing deteriorating health. Papacy of Benedict, who died in December 2022, was marred by revelations of sexual abuse scandals in the Catholic Church, which he was accused of having covered up. Let me just interject about all the things that have come up since the 2013s relative to this type of problem, not just in the church. So this is a bigger issue and more correlated with the interoperability of these elite groups. Last year of his tenure was further smeared by the Vatileaks scandal, a series of leaks which exposed allegations of corruption, internal conflicts, and financial mismanagement within the Vatican. He gave me a large box, a white box, Francis writes, recalling his visit with Benedict at Castel Gandolfo, the papal summer residence near Rome, shortly after his election. Everything is here, he told me, documents relating to the most difficult and painful situations, cases of abuse, corruption, dark dealings, wrongdoings, he said, according to The Guardian. Benedict told him the box contained documents about the actions he had taken and people he had removed, adding that it was now Francis's turn. Quote, I have continued along this path, the pontiff said in his book. The book, co-written by Italian author Carlo Musso, was released on Tuesday and, according to its publisher Mondadori, is the first time a sitting pope has written such a personal chronicle, although Francis has published other memoir-style works in the past. Francis also advocates for greater female involvement in ecclesiastical life, saying that the church is female, it is not male, although he ruled out the women becoming priests. Even as leader of the Catholic Church, Francis admits he is still committing mistakes and sins. So, as I've been saying all along, the Pope is the fallible one, uninfallible, running cover over all manner of wrongdoing, fully is fully to be expected from an organization that embraces the antithesis of creation, using Jesus Christ as a side gig almost. Listen to their words very carefully to pick this out. His evidence in promoting climate change, what attacks all gas is essential for life and sustainability, the eugenics program condemning unchosen and unnatural despoilers of the female goddess Gaia, the mother of all creation, a true mother goddess, a guardian as well as a creator, from whom the very beginnings of the universe watched over all creation as her children? Well, except mankind, apparently. He said it, right? The church is female, it's not male, yet ruling out women becoming priests. When do we get congruent? How do we start talking out the side of our mouth to try and hide something? Maybe we're not there at all. But speaking of pretenses, one that's really interesting in a way, again, you know, peacemaker. Well, Biden removes Cuba from list of state sponsors of terrorism. So right before Trump comes in, Biden removes Cuba from the list, and Trump is not really fond of Cuba, and he just put in a Secretary of State that doesn't like him. So this is the push and pull about this nonsense. Can't leave people alone to live their lives. No, we've got to name them state sponsors of terror and take away stuff from them. Another type of sanction. But Biden removed that from Cuba. It was one of the number of olive branches Biden is extending to Havana in the final days of his presidency. It could be a significant breakthrough in the bilateral relationship between the U.S. and Cuba, though President-elect Donald Trump has may choose to reverse the decisions. And this is why I keep telling you about the executive angle of this is a seesaw. It doesn't really help anybody. These things need to be put into order in law. Then we get to see that it's not a democracy at that point as well. And we need to stop being, well, we are the terrorists. The United States is the terrorist. So pointing to someone saying they're a terrorist doesn't help us at all anyway. And I think the world is starting to see and be free from the need to follow. And as we see the bifurcation at this point, which I told you is not ultimately the bifurcation, it does go to one system. But this is how they're going to have to pull the lesser nations in. And Russia's leading that charge, notwithstanding anything I've read by Alexander Dugin to the contrary. Pretty interesting. But the officials said that the White House will suspend a provision of the Helms-Burton Act, which has allowed Cuba exiles living in the United States to file claims against Havana in court to seek compensation for assets expropriated following the 1959 Cuban Revolution. The administration will also eliminate a list of restricted Cuban entities barred from certain financial transactions during the last Trump administration. The Biden administration also, our officials argued that there no longer exists a compelling security reason to access the Cuba with supporting terrorism. But I suppose there's nothing to stopping anyone from fabricating and compelling a security reason, as the United States government did for 9/11 with Donald witnessing Giuliani destroying evidence and not saying a thing or since about that. No, Trump brought Giuliani into Trump's confidence. Trump has also named critics of the Cuban government to key policy rules in his administration, including former Inter-American Development Bank Chief Mauricio Claver Carone, to be special envoy for Latin America, and Senator Marco Rubio of Florida to be the Secretary of State. Spokesman for Trump and Rubio did not immediately respond to requests for comment. Why would any nation take the decision of the United States seriously? Why would they trust them? How can they rely on these decisions for future guidance if one day they are wiped on and the next day they're wiped off? This is for them an unreasonable and ridiculous pretense, unbecoming of any honorable sovereign. It's just another type of deception. I just got off of one with the infallible one. It's the same method, the same nonsense. You just justify things that you can clearly see are either going to bring on a despicable future and not stopping it either. An opinion here that shows you who might be in bed with other people and what their misinterpretations are, and an embarrassment of getting their information wrong. Soros. Everyone's going to say, Ray, kill the guy, whatever. Get rid of him. Soros lost the battle in America. Do you know about Soros, folks? how these characters come on the stage, they're misinterpreted. Fascinating. Well, Soros lost the battle in America, says Orban. Donald Trump has liberated the country from the influence of the globalist mogul, forcing him to retreat to Europe, the Hungarian prime minister has said. United States President-elect Donald Trump's victory was a major defeat to the activist billionaire George Soros and his allies in the Democratic Party, who sought to plunge America into the gender frenzy, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban has said. Speaking in an interview with the Kossuth Radio on Friday, Orban accused the 94-year-old Hungarian-born philanthropist of maintaining a large network intertwined with the Democrat Party, claiming their efforts were focused on imposing globalist ideologies in bid to further their economic interests. What did I just expose to you early on about kicking out the WHO but incorporating the infrastructure in the United States that Trump is now promoting? Is not different than that right there. They believe that it is their duty to fix humanity. In other words, to impose on countries that they consider right, he said, adding that the migration chaos often follows those efforts. According to Orban, democratic dominance also led to an uncontrolled spread of woke politics. Here come the American Democrats, because then there will be pride, rainbows, and transgender issues, he said. However, according to Orban, Trump's victory ushered a significant shift in this regard. George Soros lost the battle in America. I could say that America was liberated by Donald Trump, the prime minister said, suggesting that the tycoons' allies had been forced to withdraw back to Brussels. We Europeans now have to face a very difficult period that entrenched themselves in Brussels, but they need to be squeezed out of Brussels, he said. Orban also expressed the outrage of the fact that the Soros network is funded by the EU budget. Not all who is funding him. Go look at the history. Go do the research. We cannot tolerate this. It is our money, too. The biggest corruption scandal in politics is that Brussels is in George Soros' pocket, he charged. But when you find out that the CIA is working, he's working with the CIA, they reconstruct that statement. Trump just vilified George Soros, but he just picked a Jewish billionaire's protege for Secretary and Treasury. Work this one through as we hear these news, these newstices. Did Soros really get defeated? As President-elect Donald Trump finalized the formation of his cabinet, he tapped for Treasury Secretary, the former top ally to Jewish billionaire George Soros, a champion of liberal causes who is frequently the target of anti-Semitic conspiracy theories from the right-wing actors, including Trump himself. Uniparty vote. You get that, right? And it's not even that, because of it's compromised. The nominee, Scott Bessent, 62, spent more than two decades as a top executive at Soros' investment fund before leaving to forge his own path, eventually appealing to some of Trump's most ardent loyalists. Bessent gained Trump's trust before the campaign by predicting a potential economic fallout if the Democrats won the election and played down Trump's trade threats in a media appearances. That's just speaking to Trump's ego. He was picked after jockeying with including three Jewish candidates for the treasurer post, Kevin Warsh, an economic policy advisor during the George W. Bush administration, and former Federal Reserve board member Mark Rowan, CEO of Apollo Global Management, and Howard Lutnick, CEO of Cantor Fitzgerald and a co-chair of the Trump transition team. Lutnick, instead, is Trump's pick to head the Department of Commerce. Second, the Treasury Department plays a crucial role in United States policy that matters to you, American Jews and Israel. It oversees the implementation of economic and trade sanctions on adversaries like Iran and tax exemption of nonprofits. If confirmed, Bessent would succeed Janet Yellen, who is Jewish. Bessent joined Soros Fund Management in 1991, initially overseeing the firm's London office before becoming its chief investment officer. He fell in 2015 and founded the Key. He left in 2015 and founded the Key Square Group with $4.5 billion in capital. So how do I tell Orban, folks? And it doesn't seem to be known, Soros was a CIA asset. But empty the swamp, folks. Remember, Soros also helped him Maidan in Ukraine in 2014. So trust that plan, folks. QQ Magoo. We are the walrus. See how they fly at warp speed. QQ Qjune. Are you tired of hearing all this? Are we going to finally step up at some point? Will we actually? I don't know. When you get past being insulted by what I say, if you're insulted. If you're not, thank you. Thank you for letting me have a space in your brain to think about some of this stuff. Go research what I'm saying. Find out if I'm wrong, that I'm not. And start putting these, re-put the puzzle back together that they're trying to play for you. Start to see that this is a game beyond a lot of us to think about. We don't have the time in our life, it seems. But a lot of us can look at some of this. A lot of this can put a lot of this together and start to see the truth through the deception. As I told you, over a decade ago, the time of the deception is on us. You see, Trump is not actually fulfilling more for the people than he is already for the elites. They just call them elites. They're not. Especially in a debt system. Remember, they've dug a big hole to have the most, but we haven't figured that out. We think that they have a lot of money. They have a lot of influence in a system that recognizes that. That's just how this thing was rigged up. It's rigged. There's no P in the cup either. There's no P in the cup. It's not a dollar. And so Soros is an interesting character, and I didn't know this early on. I just read some of this stuff. It's not important to me. I do know that Soros came on my radar when I was finding out that he was helping these things that do subvert us relative to our property laws. But I didn't know at the time that he was a CIA asset. And so tell me who's paying him. Tell me who he works for. And tell me where that entity, that organization is. And what do they do? Who did kill Kennedy? I mean, go on and on. For why? Who's the underground of this? Will we ever know? I think they sanitized. Well, I don't know if you've heard. They're going to, Trump signed the order. He's going to supposedly release all the documents about the assassination. There's a clarification I can't quite find, and I can't find the order yet. It's interesting. I can't find the orders that he signed it. That it was only going to be. It wasn't all documents, only the ones relative to the assassination. That said, my thought is, well, we didn't get it 25 or so years ago when the law came out. See, Trump's not doing anything great. It's every other president did it wrong, contrary to law, except there was built in maybe a discretion. Trump only did what he's only accomplishing the law that fulfills what Congress already put in law, the enactment, to give the information. I suspect that when they didn't give it to us, we're getting a sanitized version of it. And so I don't know that we'll ever know this secret, the thing, whatever's going on. I hope there's something there we need to know as a people. It's not keeping it away. It's not about protecting families of the deceased. This is about the American public being given the information it needs to be the people that are in control. Otherwise, you have no republic to be kept. And it isn't at this point. So, very interesting characters on the Kabuki stage that keep being run, and there are only a few organizations underneath that actually run it. And so what I try to do is find those things that can point to it, but you also know that I don't get too deep in the detail. But I want to know more importantly, and I hope you agree, because we can be bogged down by all this. We need to just find out what can affect us and how it's affecting us so that we can shut it down. And the only way, the basis we have would be at this point, given the overthrow, multiple usurpations and overthrows, will be to go by the black and white. And you see that the so-called elite don't really go, look at that, police policy being violated. The policy's being violated. I've told you the policies can be lawful, but that they're being violated, and we haven't stopped that at all. The executive of the office of the President of the United States signs a birthright order that looks on its face to be clearly violative of the Constitution, 14th Amendment, about those born in the United States. Now, I have some questions about some of that. Notwithstanding that, the clear word, the plain read of that is that that order is unconstitutional. So executive is not actually apparently following the law, but that's what the courts are supposed to be for. So we have a lot to go through as a people to understand what's going on. We're being led by the nose by the they. It's pretty simple to me. I'm not beholden to any of these political party people. I would have liked to see Trump go the right path to be the hero, But I told you, likely he's not. He's speaking to your aspirations. But where are you on the press, the White House press stage? Where are you, my listener? And so goes the government, not for you. This is BTWRLM 613. And I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs, or nature willing.
Echoes call, the hour is near. Behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Every Sunday, the clock strikes three. Hal's voice grows like thunder, fierce and free. Pull up a chair, lean in close, lessons to learn. Dose by dose, behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. Next week, heed the call. Behind the woodshed, standing tall.